WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And the deer seasons keep on giving. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 23rd and 24th. First turn of the calendar page about to be made next weekend. Speaking of next weekend, the final week of statewide winter bow season continues this week. It ends half hour after sunset next Saturday. Now, permit bow, permit muzzleloader, and permit shotgun continues in select deer management zones. Okay, throughout the portions of the state, January 31st and some end February 20th. So you still got a big spread there. A lot of venison still available to go in the freezer as well. Check page 33 in the 2021 Hunting and Trapping Digest for all the exact dates and DMZs, whatever that. The light goose, the greater lesser snow and the Ross's goose season continues. South Zone Canada goose season closes this Tuesday. And coastal zone ducks in Canada season close next Saturday. And that's sunset. And I'll tell you, it's we're not getting that super, super cold snap that'll bring these ducks down. This is the second year in a row. The coastal zone season is not been that great. I mean, some guys are scoring really well on that, but other ones need some hardcore great waterfowlers. You got to pick your times. Maybe hit some of these small flocks of ducks. And there's some big rafts of bluebill, broadbills, scaup, whatever you want to call them out there. By the way, scaup limits now too, but up from the one, but. It's been a tough go on the coastal zone scene. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Coming up, we have South Jersey's own Newt Sterling and the book Master Trappers by Tom Miranda, the creme de la creme of trappers in the United States. Some history about in the book on Kit Carson, etc. Creme de la creme. Who made the cut? Newt Sterling, right there out of Port Republic. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Now, in the opening segment, I mentioned the various hunting seasons that are open. We always try to get at least one segment in a year, if not two. Jersey trapping in the heyday, 70 to late 60s through the 70s into the early 80s, and trapping was extremely popular. A couple of thousand people on the belonged to the New Jersey Trappers Association, and the trapping sales were strong. Then the leg hole trap ban in 84. Thank you, Governor Tom Kane, back then, you lying weasel. I don't want to defame the weasel. I like that little fur bear. But the trapping season is currently going on. It'll continue through March 15th. Now, beaver and otters, we know, are by special permit only. Coyote, red and gray fox, mink, raccoon, muskrat, possum, skunk, and weasel are legal core as long as you have a trapping license. I've been a trapping fan since, way back, reading, when I was a kid, all the old New Jersey outdoors. Remember, they used to be 10 cents in black and white. Then they went to the four color, the big format, whatever. I was fascinated with it. I got into it really heavy about 78. My last year, next last year, living up in northern Maine, especially with the coyotes were becoming really prevalent up there, did some trap lines with a few of the older gentlemen, and it wasn't a cabin, it was a camp. I had to get drummed into my head. It was a camp, okay? And part like that down here when I came down to Jersey, fascinated with, everywhere from up there at Sawmill Creek Wildlife Management Area, we're looking across right at Manhattan, right at the skyline, trapping muskrats and whatever. I believe a guy was on the last Alaskans. Bob Hart was from, used to trap that area. He had since passed, God rest his soul, good guy. And then trapping, like I said, became super popular, and then, on the wayside. So it's in a downstroke. But I still subscribe to Fur Fish Game Magazine, just some a fascinating book. And I saw, I said, what is this? I saw an ad in there for this hardcover book, Master Trappers by Tom Miranda. Now, it's, 400 pages long, 650, 700 illustrations, photos, whatever the whole work. So I'm trying to order it, and it took a while to get here. Thank you, Joe Goodman, for your patience on that. He's the master illustrator. And I read a book twice. I have to. Not that I'm dyslexic or anything like that. But I read it first, then I digest it, and then I go back for a second helping. And, it's like a movie. You always pick up things on a second, pickup. But on the first run through, I'm turning pages, I'm looking at this, and there's some of the best trappers in the United States and Canada are in this book by Miranda. Again, that's why it's called Master Trappers. I mean, way back to the Kit Carson days, and all covers everybody. In fact, trapping back in the Middle Ages. Tom really did exhaustive work in this. I'm going through. I get to page 323. And it was like I was punched in the face by Vladimir Klitschko. Right there. Basically, a photo of Knute Sterling. Now, Knute was a guest on Rack and Fin Radio about a month or so ago when his book was released, Snaring for Survival. Newt's in our own Port Republic here in South Jersey. He made the cut. And there's five pages of Newt's history, and it's just absolutely fascinating. He's running a trapping school, whatever, with Ronnie Jones from Rednecks Pride ACP, Game Calls and Outdoor Sense. I put a call on Newt. I was, honored to know him, that this is a unbelievable honor. And Newt's joining us on the line right now. Give us a little history on how we knew Tom Miranda, the author. Jersey boy, Jersey man, makes good. Newton Sterling, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, buddy. Sorry for the short notice, but when I saw this, I was on the phone with you. I was going bonkers, man.
Well, thank you for the call.
Newt, I mean, when Miranda put the call into you to be included in this book, one, what was your reaction? And two, how did you know Tom Miranda?
One, I couldn't find a hat big enough. My head swelled. I never expected this. I met Tom back in 84, my first trip out to Fur Takers of America at Trappers College, where he was teaching, and I happened to be in his class. That's where we met. Then in 86, I was invited back as his assistant instructor. We became close then because we were working together with our students.
Mm-hmm. And Newt, you were born in Pennsylvania. When was the migration to the Jersey marshlands?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I said you were born in Pennsylvania. When was the family, when did you migrate here to the Jersey marshlands?
64.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I was 14, I believe, 14 okay. or 15.
And your interest in trapping grew how?
Well, I was always in it. We always trapped up in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
As kids. We had, you know, there was three of us that hung around together trapping. And we always in competition with each other, seeing who can make the best set and catch the most animals, you know, the whole trapper bit. So I fell right into South Jersey. I'm glad we moved here because I wouldn't be where I'm at now if it wasn't for getting out of Pennsylvania and down here.
Well, Newt, according to the segment in the book, listeners, we're speaking about Master Trappers, a new book by Tom Moran, illustrated by Joe Goodman. Newt Sterling, page 323, new five pages, and some great, great photos of you. I mean, now the trapping, was it a primary source of income? And because I also understand that you were into some commercial fishing and the hunting and the whole bit. How did this totally evolve to where you are right now doing it, besides trapping, being a trapping instructor? I mean, you're at the pinnacle, man.
Well, it just happened gradually. Like you said earlier, the fur prices went up in the 80s, and I hooked up with Captain Kenny Wilson here. He was my neighbor, and he taught me to trap as a business, not as a sport.
Okay.
And he was a big influence on my life that way, and he got me into commercial fishing also.
No.
So I picked out, yeah, just... My income from trapping was exceeding everything else I was doing, so I just went full time.
Listen, just to give you an idea of what Newt was saying, this bugged out because I remember when I got into it, it was, you know, in the boom there, but I was, again, doing it part time. I was working with Division of Fish and Wildlife when I came back to back then, a Division of Fish, Game, and Shell Fisheries. I was trapping, you know, part time, very diligent, out there on the line, 4:35 in the morning, getting it done, but this nothing like Newt was doing. But I have to quote right here. This is a quote from Newt. Okay, ready? Captain Kenny taught me that there was money to be made if you worked at it like a job, not as a sport. And he was right. In 1978, at the start of the fur boom, I bought a new Ford F-150 4x4 pickup with my fur check. Newt, that is amazing. Just to show you how the fur prices were back then. Newt, was it Red Fox at the top dog there? What was the dealio?
Muskrats. Everybody was, muskrat was king. We had plenty of muskrats, and they were bringing $8 to $10 that year.
$8 to $10?
That was, well, listen to this. That was in 1978, and a Ford F-150 four-wheel drive, eight-foot bed was on the lot for $5,500. So figure what that muskrat would be worth with inflation today.
Oh, wow. Now, did you stick with the muskrats, or did you branch out eventually? And, again, let's get to the trapping and snaring school after your answer, because, again, when the Leghorn was outlawed in 84, snaring became the thing. Did you, was that a tough transition for you? How did that occur?
Well, Jimmy Merle, I give him a lot of credit. He was the first president of Coastal Fur Takers, and he took me by the hand and taught me how to trap fox and coon, which a lot of the old timers down here at that time had no interest in because of the muskrats. I mean, they were king. And then the trap ban came, was coming up. So I went to, I knew if I wanted to continue trapping, I wanted to learn something else. So I went to the Trapper's College in 86, I believe they were banned. So we were done unless I learned to snare.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little bit of snare education the first year as a student there. And with Tom's help, I became a better snaresman. But the light didn't come on. The bulb didn't hit. I was a foothold trapper.
Mm-hmm.
The bulb didn't come on until 2 years later in 88 when I could realize what I was doing and I could read sign. It's hard to teach a foothold trapper how to snare because they don't look at the terrain the same way.
Exactly, right.
I could teach a student who has never had any trapping experience easier or faster how to snare than a student that has a foothold education.
Well, Newt, was it tough going the first year or two, first season or two, with the snares until you hit your stride?
Yeah, I thought these things ain't never going to work. These guys are lying to me.
That's Newt Sterling, man.
But the whole trick to trapping is location, location, location. If you learn to read sign and pick the location, you're going to catch fur no matter what tool you're going to use. The foothold trap, the snare, the body grip trap, the cage trap, they're just different tools that we have to use and utilize. Every tool is not good for the same situation.
Well, listen, just to fill you in, Newt is not, for lack of a better term, Jersey bound when it comes to trapping. Newt, I understand you did wildlife control and trapping in several states, have you not?
A few years ago, otters were bringing close to $200 or better. I started in October in Maine, trapping otters up there until the ice came. I started moving south.
Wow.
And wound up in February or in February, either in Mississippi or Texas, still trapping otters.
Newt, did you have a family at the time?
Yeah. Wife was very understanding loans. I brought home, sent home the paychecks.
Hey, there are priorities there, Sterling, you know what I mean? But she must have been one hell of a young lady to raising children while you were gone most of the time, but that kept it going. Now you've turned this into a thriving full-time career, Newt, even though trapping and slowly rising in popularity as more people understand, you know, the whole biological and ecological thing about it, while they have fur bearer control, et cetera. But do you see trapping ever in New Jersey, like in our lifetimes, Newt, you're only a year or two older than me, getting to the pinnacle it was back in the 70s?
All depends on the fur prices.
Yeah, that's it.
If the fur prices go up, trappers come out of the woodwork.
And Newt,
everybody's looking for the pot of gold.
I remember that when I started, I had a couple of comments by me, you know, you're making rookie mistakes. And, you're saying, where did you come from? What's your history in trapping? I mean, I was getting grilled by some of these older guys that were, you know, in the woods and the marshes where I was, you know, plowing around looking for fox, looking for raccoon. But do you find that hurts it insofar as success of a master trapper such as yourself in that, like, coyote seasons? Right? There's 3,000 people out there yowling and using calls or whatever. And doesn't, when you have an influx of trappers like that, does that make your harvest go down?
No, not really. You just got to, I hate to say it, but yeah, I don't want to sound like I got a big head or anything.
You do, Newt. You couldn't find a hat for you.
Know how to work around different things like that.
Uh-huh.
and search out the best locations, getting permission to trap on different farms, plantations, or ranches ahead of the other guys. It's a lot of your footwork done preseason.
Yeah.
Putting out baits, drawing coyotes to you. Instead of making a set every mile or so, you can draw those coyotes with a good bait station, especially this time of year. And that way you're making fewer stops and getting more coyote per check.
Listeners, joining us online is Newton Sterling. Newton's a part of Tom Miranda's book, Master Trappers. It's out. Tom Miranda honors the Master Trappers, and honor it is indeed. Newt Sterling made the cut. Everyone in South Jersey knows Newt or knows of Newt. And Newt's book was out, a month or so ago, Newt? It was called Snaring for Survival. And Newt, you have two other books out, correct?
Yeah, Master Land Snaring and Master Otter Snaring, plus 8 DVDs.
You have 8 DVDs out?
Yeah.
Sterling, when do you sleep?
I'm done for the day, I crash.
Listen,
very little TV time, relaxing time. It's just, if you're going to do this business, you got to be on the hustle.
Let me tell you something. I've seen Newt, observe Newt at these trapping conventions and rendezvous, whatever. He is indeed a whirling dervish. Newt, I've seen you hit probably 35 compass points in the space of 10 minutes. It's you're all over the place. You're talking to people. You're giving seminars. You're back at your table. You're back at your booth. You're explaining. You have youngsters on the side giving tips and hints and tactics and techniques. Newt, you're an icon here, and not only in South Jersey, but I spoke to some trappers up North Jersey, you know, up around Beamerville, you know, Space Farms, where you guys have the convention.
Yeah.
Oh, Newt Sterling, I said, yeah, he lives about 20 minutes from us, he said. One guy said, he is, and I'm not, sorry, Miranda, I'm not stealing your time. One guy says, Newt, he's the master, man. They called you the master of the marshes. No kidding.
Well, that's titles that people give you. I don't give myself a title besides I'm just a trapper.
Well, Newt, where does it go from here? Now, I understand this weekend you have a trapping and snaring school. I mean, how many of these do you give a season?
Well, we do one class a year, unless we get a lot more influence, but we're able to fill a class up every year.
Well, Newt,
we had students up far as away as Alaska, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Wait. Say that one more time. You had students come here from where?
Alaska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Virginia, North Carolina. I'm trying to think.
I don't know, Newt. That's testament to the quality of the education. Listen, you're going to get at the trapping and snaring school. Okay, Newt, we're up against the hard break again. An honor to have you on Rack and Fin Radio. Hope to see you down Port Republic one of these times. I miss the port store. Listeners, okay, you know me. I miss the port store subs, the best on the planet. But, Newt, let me ask you, your free time when you do get it, I mean, do you fish for pleasure? Do you get to hunt at all? What's the deal?
I deer hunt. I go deer shooting. I hunt for the freezer.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
My life is trapping, and when I'm at work, I'm having fun.
God bless you, Newt. Again, an honor to have you on Rockfin. Listeners, Master Trappers by Tom Miranda. Tom is scheduled for next week's program. We're going to really get into this book. If you, I know the theme of social media, blah, blah, blah. A book, especially millennials out there. It's called a book. Read it. It will blow your mind. Rich history of one of the things that made this country great. Well, Newt, listen, you take care. I hope to run into you one of these days. Newt, do me a favor. People want to get check out your book selection. Do you have a website, a phone number? Give it up. Go.
Snareone.com. That's SNAREONE.com is the website. My phone number is 609-338-7011.
Now, Newt, the Snaring for Survival, I know it's selling well. Is it available, strictly through you, Amazon? Where can people get it up?
It'll be available Amazon very soon, and through me and most trapper supplies across the nation once I get this printing under control and rolling again, rolling full speed, rather.
Well, Newt, you take care. Great to have you on Rackman. Hope to see you soon, and congratulations. And that's such an honor. Miranda is one of the best in the business. Incredible writer. Listen, he has Territories Wild TV show. He was one of the pioneers on ESPN, these great hunts, adventures. I mean, Newt, this is proud to know you, Newt. Just that's all I can say. Proud to know you, man.
It's an honor to be on your radio show.
Well, you take. Hey, listen, Newt, what's your shirt size, bro?
Large.
Okay, man, we got something coming to you.
I got something for you too. One says we meet up.
Oh, you take care, brother. Be good.
All right, thank you. God bless.
Newt Sterling, an absolutely, in his own way, a charismatic personality. Ron Jones, and these trappers are just, it's different. Hunting is one thing. Nature walking, but you become a trapper, you see things in nature that you would never, ever, ever notice. It really makes you a really rounded outdoors person, outdoors enthusiast. Up against the break, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. That was Newt Sterling, man. Master Trappers by Tom Miranda. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
The COVID-19 vaccine distribution has started, which is why I'm hopeful that a stronger, healthier future is in sight. But we're not there yet. We have to stop the virus from spreading. Take it from me, Dr. Kemi Ali from Henry J. Austin Health Center. Even though it's 2021, my fellow doctors, nurses, EMTs, and all healthcare workers around New Jersey are still fighting this virus on the front lines day and night. And we need you to keep fighting with us. Even though some people have been vaccinated, we all need to keep wearing face masks. Stay safe by staying socially distanced. And go get tested, even if you don't have symptoms. Because we all have a role to play in stopping the spread of this virus. So let's do it for each other, New Jersey. Let's do it for us all. Please visit covid19.nj.gov for more information.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin. I was about to say Furfish Game because that's my next guest is waiting in the wings. And you'll be able to hear the podcast from the past few months when it started. Now, that was Newt Sterling. Okay, Master Trappers. He was included in Tom Miranda's incredible book, Master Trappers. And I'd seen Newt around again at these rendezvous and trapping conventions. And then saw his ad for his Snaring for Survival in the great magazine, 96 years young and going strong, Furfish Game. As it says on the page, the cover page, which is always the greatest wildlife or fish art you will ever, ever see. Okay? A magazine for the practical outdoorsman. And it keeps going strong. Other magazines, again, I'm in the business. I do a lot of writing. All of a sudden, this masthead changes, new ownership, here, there. Who was the editor 1 week, gone the next week, that type thing. Furfish Game stays the course. Joining us on the line, very special guest. We can get him once a year. It's Mitchell, a.k.a. Mitch Cox. He is the longtime editor of Furfish Game. Mitch, thanks for joining us. I'm Rack and Fin, little brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm not quite as pumped as you are, but I guess you hear that a lot.
Well, Mitch, you're Ohio. I'm East Coast. You okay, are the staid, tried and true Midwest. I'm the East Coast wacko. What do you think?
that sounds about right.
Well, Mitch, you see me running around ICAST in the SHOT Show, so you know what that's all about. But, Mitch, we had Newt Sterling on a little earlier with Miranda's book, Tommy Miranda's scheduled next week. Furfish Game. Furfish Game is the common denominator, especially of the trapping interests out there, Mitch. Very, very concise, educational, informative articles about trapping. But, listeners, not only trapping and fur prizes, et cetera, you have great across-the-board articles to appeal to everyone. For example, in the January issue, Trophy Deer in January. That's a great piece, man. That guy, Honeycutt, he's killing me. He's giving away some of my secrets. Rabbit hunting, you have fishing columns. You have trap line columns. You have predator hunting columns. And you have two great segments. Readers, like the readers, I know that. And then the back listeners, a two-page section, question and answers. And Mitch, it's just a gem. It's just a gem of a publication.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Tom. It's what we really go for isn't just the information anymore. It's to entertain people. I believe that people read magazines because they enjoy it. If all you want is information, you can go online. But if you really want to enjoy the outdoors, pick up a magazine. It's really the best way.
Mitch, I'm from the old school. I'm a hard copy guy, if you get my drift. But listen, there's two, besides the January Whitetails, two articles that really struck home with me, Blood Trailing Deer by Bruce Ingram, a longtime writer, great outdoor writer. And also, Mitch, again, listen, human interest, adventure stories, a family trapline vacation. Mitch, I read that thing three times. That was fantastic. Written by someone who did it, not a pro writer, someone who did it and lived it. And that's such what's so refreshing about your publication.
Yeah, it does set us apart a little bit. Most of our best articles are written by people who read the magazine, and most of them are professional writers, but that piece you're referring to, that was just a guy who was watching one of the Mountain Man shows on TV.
Uh-huh.
Thought it would be fun, did a little web research, found an outfitter who would, basically it's a guided trapping trip.
Uh-huh.
And you could bring your whole family. They lived in the bush for a week. Trapped a big lynx, saw wolves. They, you know, had the week of their lives.
Sure. And Mitch, I lived it through them vicariously. I said, this is a great idea. I have a couple of travel ideas myself. I just have to run it by the old financial guru. See if we can pull it off. But Mitch, besides, again, the adventure, it's an informative magazine. Like you said, it's an entertaining magazine, and it just keeps going 96 years, Mitch. And you've had, again, attrition, age, we get that. Best wishes to Ed Hall, the recently retired gun editor. His stuff was incredible. And now we have a new writer in there. And, Mitch, it didn't miss a beat, you know, information-wise. It just keeps going. What do you owe this to, man?
We have one ace that we play all the time. People think of us as a trapping magazine because nobody else covers trapping at all.
Right.
And if you actually look at the magazine, there's more hunting in it than trapping.
Yep.
There's always fishing. We like to have history pieces. Yeah. We have an adventure serial called Lou and Charlie that ran in the magazine for 35 years from 1925 to 1960. We started reprinting them on our 70th anniversary, and people liked it so much, we literally got swamped with letters. So we still run them. Every month, it's like one of the old, it's just an old adventure serial, two outdoorsmen living the life. They always have a mystery to solve.
Yeah.
There's always a damsel in distress, and it's just a fun read.
It is. And Lou and Charlie. Okay, Mitch, here's the thing. I just filled in some assignments. I'm going to have enough by, I think, the middle of March. I'll cut you guys a check. I want to buy the whole series. Number 8 just came out, correct?
I'm working on number 9 right now. That's what's on my desk.
Well, Mitch, again, another big, big point of the magazine. Listen, we're talking to Mitch Cox, editor, Furfish Game Magazine, 96 years young and still going strong. Mitch, the woodcraft pieces, what I pick up from these, again, nuggets, little gems of information that not available really. Anyway, you look online, maybe you'll find them, but just great stuff.
Well, it's part of how I work with writers. They hit me with a general topic, and I always hit them back with, well, what do you know that's a little different?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing that's interesting? You know, I don't want dry how-to. I want your story. Every story is based on the personal experience of the man writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been doing this 32 years, I know what's been printed 100 times before.
Exactly,
so
right, yeah.
I get them to focus on what they're doing that's unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a unique story that way. You still put the general how-to in, but it's background.
Right.
What people want, they want that personal experience, and that's what we try to give them.
Exactly. Well, Mitch, let me ask you this. We met ICAST, SHOT Show, whatever. How did you get into the editor position? I mean, again, because there's very little. Like you said, you've been there 32 years. God bless you, Mitch, especially with dealing with writers like me. Oh, my God. But, But again, that's a tremendous track record. Again, Ed Hall. I remember when I first picked up the magazine, December 1973. Al Weiss was your fishing editor. Now you have Vic Attardo, an incredible, incredible fishing writer, an incredible angler in his own right. And you have Judd Cooney. I mean, the last time I saw Judd was at Duluth at the Outdoor Writers Conference, and I threw a ball. He was, Mitch, I tell you, is the guy crazy or what? He's sitting on that, you hit the thing, and he goes in a pool. Now it's early June in Duluth. Yo! And there's Cooney. And what I mean, going back to my pitching days, I was in Little League, I nailed him. He at the dinner that night, he says, I'll never forgive you.
Oh, Judd's amazing. I'm on the phone with him every month. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how old Judd is, and I'll never ask him, but there's nothing that man hasn't done.
Right, and he's one of those guys, Mitch, when he was 35, looks like he is when he's 60. You know, just doesn't age.
I mean, he's still taking guys up in the mountains. He had one of the best bear camps in North America. He now has a white-tailed deer operation. And some of his stories reference when he was a game warden in the early 1960s. So you do the math.
Yeah.
I mean, the man has been around.
Listen, let me tell you something. If Judd Cooney with a CO uniform and a badge come up and said this, I'd say, whatever, I'm guilty. Take me. I mean, he is a really impressive feature. And Mitch, he writes the predator column, predator hunting column, correct?
He does, but we also let him do turkey hunting,
right, yeah.
Deer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he writes what he wants to write about at this point.
Well, Mitchell, as you know, the attrition rate, and especially when things became online and you see new owners. I mean, I look at some of the books, I'm not going to mention by name, that used to be so thick that are now you can almost see through them. You know, and it's a shame. Guy has a job, you know, 2, 3, 4 months, 5 months, 6, and then boom, editor's gone, new department gone. Again, fur fish game keeps it steady, keeps it going. You attribute that to, Mitch, again, the content, the just the approach to the outdoor readership game. What do you think?
Well, it's because we cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
Our niche is that we don't have a niche.
Bingo.
And
Bingo.
That gives us the ability to keep it fresh. You know, we are the only national outdoor magazine that still publishes every month. We're it. Nobody else does that. So if you enjoy getting a magazine every month, and I think most people do, and they wouldn't subscribe if they didn't enjoy it, it becomes part of your routine.
It's funny.
It becomes part of your life.
It's funny you said that, Cox. What was it, a couple of months ago? I'm out there and I'm waiting in the mailbox, the mail cars. It was once or twice a week. We don't get mail. It's like 4:45, 5 o'clock, whatever. Denise pulls in. I'm out there by the mailbox. She says, don't tell me. You're waiting for the mail. The fur fish game must be in there. I said, baby, you got it. They're big. She just gave me a laugh. I eagerly await the publication. Listen, it's so informative. Just so much fun to read. And you learn things about fish, about wildlife, about woodcraft that you can't pick up anywhere else, Mitch, in an entertaining format. That's the big difference, Mitch.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, we had, because the post office is in bad shape right now, and we're not going to get into that, but we are getting so many people that are calling the office because they're used to getting their magazine on a certain week.
Yep.
And if it's 1 week late, they have to know why. They refer to it not as a subscription, but as their membership.
Right.
It's a pretty unique readership.
Well, Mitch, talking about mail, the post office, and listen, the post office is doing a great job, other things considered.
Exactly.
It took me almost 3 weeks to get Master Trappers. So Miranda calls me up. He said, you got it? He says, what a Goodman send at Pony Express. Mitch, it was in limbo in the Pittsburgh area for 7 days.
Oh yeah, and it's a big book too. That was a lot of fun. We did a big excerpt from that.
You did, yeah.
For our February issue.
Yep. That's at our place in the Poconos now, right on the table,
mm-hmm.
Right there, Mitch. I'm gonna have a stack of fur fish games up there, man. It's just a great publication.
I hope you can get Tom on. He's a really interesting guy.
Next Saturday, man. He is on now, Mitch. I remember when he did. I said, where's this guy coming from, man? He was doing a trapping thing. He was one of the first really to do the videos. Then he was doing the fur fish game question and answer column. Holy God.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was all over.
And he's best known today for the television shows on ESPN, Outdoor Channel.
He's
an entrepreneur, American success story, and a schoolboy trapper. He's the whole package.
Mitchell, I don't see you riding off into the sunset or hanging up your shoes anytime soon, but 32 years is testament to your ability, Mitch, and your put a magazine together on a monthly basis that people cannot wait to get and read. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Mitch, you take care. Give that Furfish Game website, Facebook page. Go, man.
Just furfishgame.com, and anything you need to know, you'll find it there.
Listeners, if you're a reader like I am, I devour books, beware when you get to the book market, because you're just going to just take out a credit card and go, believe me. It can be financially dangerous.
I agree.
Mitch, you take care. Best of the family. See you, bud. Take care.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks, Tom.
Mitch Cox, Furfish Gay Man. He is just the man. Hey, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Coming up, we have Leon Chachinsky, man. Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers Club. A lot of stuff happening. Be right back. Rackin' Finn Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
News. I'm Mary Corsetti. President Biden's economic plan includes $1,400 stimulus checks, but it's facing some criticism.
Members of the squad proposed recurring stimulus payments, $2,000 every month. In a letter to the president obtained by the Huffington Post, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar writes, "One more check is not enough during this public health and economic crisis. To truly build back better, families need stability and certainty through ongoing relief."
Fox's Rick Leventhal. Meanwhile, we're just one day away from learning who will play in Super Bowl 55.
We do know there will be a crowd of 22,000 on hand for Super Bowl 55, but tomorrow we'll find out who that crowd will get to witness square off for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Tom Brady will try to make his 10th career Super Bowl as he leads the Tampa Bay Bucks to face MVP frontrunner Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Meantime, the Buffalo Bills take on the reigning Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Breezy early today, otherwise a mix of clouds and sunshine. High 48, cloudy tonight, low 30. Breezy tomorrow with some sunshine, high 46. Tuesday, times of clouds and sunshine, high Tuesday, 42. Wednesday, sunny with winds gradually subsiding, high 38. I'm AccuWeather's Brian May on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back for our final segment of Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 23rd and 24th already. Okay, I know we've been doing a lot of hunting and a lot of trapping. There are still plenty of fishing opportunities out there. Okay, no freeze on the South Jersey. We got a little skim ice here and there, but I know the crappie bite is going bonkers all through the southern portion of the state. Largemouth bass, picky, but there. Some smallies in Union Lake, picky, but there. But the white perch thing is just, they're knocking the snot out of them still. But it's like the loaves and the fishes, man. Where are all these white perch coming from? Now, you have, when you think about it, let's see, public access to the beaches, public access to the jetties, sort of a tough thing, and it's improving, going slowly here and there. Shout out to Noel at One Stop Bait and Tackle, trying to get some more access to the Atlantic City jetties and boardwalk fishing areas. But we have some great pier fishing opportunities in New Jersey. Now, I'm talking going from Raritan Bay up there, what's that, I think 2,600 feet, whatever the fishing pier right there, Keensburg. Shout out to Kathy Smock up there. I mean, all the way down to Cape May, intermittently. There are fishing piers and also fishing platforms, such as the Longport, where you have that pier, the Longport Ocean City Bridge right there, and also the causeway going into Atlantic City, all the fishing platforms. Now, how do you find out more information about these? Well, leave it up to Leon. That's what I say. Leave it up to Leon. Leon Chachinsky, he is the founder and president of the Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers Club. I think it's 900 members plus and growing strong. He started a page, New Jersey Pier Fishing. Now, I know his platter is full and beyond, and I said, Leon, what made you do this? I remember him saying something like, Tom P. got some great fishing out there. Let's let the people know about it. Leon, you hit another grand slam with this, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thank you.
Leon, New Jersey pier fishing. Wow. I mean, what was the catalyst to this?
Well, you know, there's just limited opportunities on the ocean side and lots more on the bay side. And I realized that most people don't even know that these piers exist. And as we unfortunately seem to be losing access more and more for land-based anglers, I thought it was just a good idea. It was time. There's just a bunch of small ones that people don't even know exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had such positive feedback. I started the page, and I think a month later I have around 900 people on it. So it hit home for a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't have access to a boat.
Right.
Or, you know, for whatever reason, just don't have opportunities to get out there. And this is just, this just gives them some more options. It gives them a way to get out there and fish and take the kids. And, you know, a lot of these piers are very safe for kids. So, there's some good opportunities out there. So I've been enjoying it.
And Leon, as you mentioned, I mean, it could be, you know, with the kids, the families, especially, but predicated on the season, and if you know your fish migrations, know the base, whatever, these can be some great platforms to catch keeper fish of any species.
Oh yeah, definitely, they are there. And like you said, it's a little bit of a learning curve, you know, but you get in there, you ask questions, you see your local bait tackle shops, and ask questions, and you know, before you know it, you're getting better and better.
And Leon, The best part, well, there's some listeners where there is a fee, like privately owned or whatever, but for the most part, it's easy access, plenty of parking, trash receptacles, porta-johns, so it could be, you know, it could be a full day out there with the, you know, your basic, you know, basic needs plus good fishing, and especially in the summer, Leon, with the kids, with the crabbing option, it's a win-win all around this pier opportunity. But Leon, wouldn't you agree now that these opportunities, again, with more exploration, more publicity, these can become like a go-to spot for those without a boat? Yeah,
absolutely. You know, there's a lot of great piers when you get up, you know, a little further north when you get up to the Raritan Bay area. There's some fantastic piers. You still have your opportunities in South Jersey. Not quite as many, but mm-hmm. we do have them.
Yep.
And I'm hoping, you know, with some attention, I'm hoping that maybe we'll be able to get some more. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of legalities involved, I'm sure, but mm-hmm. it's something I do want to start looking into.
Well, Leon,
as far as who to see.
Right. Now, I know when they do some development along the shore, Bayside, whatever, I guess there's something there where you have to build, you know, fisherman access, hence right there at LBI Barnicot Light, that long,
correct,
right in there, but you know, to the left of the lighthouse, and the nice 100-150 yard fishing access. Now that little, I call it Scotty's Pond, shout out to Scotty Albertson from Scott's Bait and Tackle, and will he ever reopen, we don't know, but I remember as you get off at exit 50, okay, and you're going and you see this little thing on the right, it's on the Bass River, little, I don't know, 20,
correct,
30 acre size. Leon, there are some, well, we caught them through the ice here, but there are some fantastic opportunities for white perch there. Now, the pier's a little, it's short. You have to make that cast out there in the deeper water. But Leon, and it's odd because everyone's, they're the regulars, I call them. You'll see the same three, four, five people or the same one or two families. And they're catching fish, they're having a great time, ample parking, and it's right there. And then you hear people bellyaching, there's no real place to fish around here. And you say, whoa, yeah, it's right there. Just you have to do a little bit of investigating. So, Leon, this page should definitely be a boon to those opportunities.
Yeah, I'm really hoping so. You know, we have so many people that get upset about, you know, spot burning, and I've had people challenge me on that. And I say these piers are public piers, and people should know they're there and be able to enjoy them. And that's really what the page is all about. Get out there, you know, find a pier and have a good time. Take the kids, go out with a buddy, and enjoy yourself.
Leon, I have to give a little reminiscent shout out. Our art director at Wood Advertising, Steve Brank, one of the greatest artists out there. Art director, just fantastic. His brother-in-law, David Yee. David's probably 6'5", 5 or 6, 6 or something. And he and his brother Sam, they were living in a house right there. You know, we get off exit, what's that, 25? No, exit 30, Summers Point exit. What's that, Laurel Boulevard or whatever it is? You know, that the gas station where the cop's always right in there trying to nail you going over 25. I see. It's a windy, windy November morning. I'm coming up, you know, get off the park. I'm coming up. And I said, is that David? Sure enough, there he was with his radio flyer, red wagon, whatever. He had his rod holders in this red wagon. Now, Leon, the wind's blowing 20, 25. He has, and I said, Dave, where are you going? He says, I'm going fishing. Where do you think? I said, where? He said, the new pier. This is back in the 90s when they just opened up that Atlantic, that Ocean City Longport. So I drive into work. It's about lunchtime. I say to Steve, I said, Steve, your crazy brother-in-law, man, he's out there on the pier. He said, that's Dave. He said, he lives to fish. He works and he fishes. That's all he does. So I'm going to take a break. I drove over there, Lam, went over the ridge, go back in the parking lot. He's the only one there. And I walk out there. He says, hey, I said, Dave, what's up? He says, hey, Tom, jumping up and down. I said, boy, this is a 6'6", 7" version of me. Go up. And he says, look what I caught. He takes this towel, this beach towel off his red wagon. There's a 35-inch striper in there still alive.
Yep, I said, David,
he says, yeah, he took, caught it on a clam, hooked it himself. Leon, he walked it all the way down, crawled over, went down those rocks, and got. I said, now that's dedication. Well, just goes to show you, listeners, the fish are there. You have to be there to catch them. Who would have thought that, Leon, off a pier, and I've seen 4- and 5-pound tog come off that same structure.
Exactly. And, you know, that's another thing. I think people don't realize the quality of the fish that are actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a little time at these locations, get past a little bit of a learning curve, and you'd be surprised what you can catch.
Well, Leon, on a down note, though, with the piers, I noticed, and hey, we're all guilty of it one time or another, but just, you know, Leon, it gets me, because I'll never forget these two bird watchers. I was there by myself on that Ocean City Longport span, and people came out, they had their binoculars and the whole bit, piping, whatever. Is there a long dog beach there? Whatever. And the one lady said to the guy, says, God, these fishermen are such slobs. I mean, Leon, there's weeds all over. I picked up what I could. There's coffee cups, beer cans, and things are overflowing. And I said, you know, that does give the fishermen, fisherwoman, anglers, whatever you call them, a bad name. So, you know, you cleaned up what you can. That's one thing you have to listen. So if you're going to use these structures, just pick up after yourself, people. It's not that hard. You want to bring it out, bring it back. You know, you don't have a beer, that's fine. Put it in a container, put it, and then take it with you. Or put it in a trash can in a bag. Well, yeah, so that's the only downstroke. But listeners, New Jersey Pier Fishing, check out the page. Unbelievable, and you're going to find out more and more fishing spots that maybe you never really even knew existed. Now, Leon, some of the piers are private, you know, membership only. Other piers, you can pay for access. I'll tell you what's a bit. I know they're going to do some work. They're going to expand the Ocean City Fishing Pier, but forget that. That's, you know, that's private, locked up. You get on there, I think you'll be total carted away in handcuffs. But, for example, that Ventnor Fishing Pier, that has some absolute, and we also want to market, absolutely incredible kingfish shots in there, man. Whoa. And
you can pay a daily
fee to get on there. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. It can be some very good fishing out there. There's no question about it.
Okay, we're speaking with Leon Chachinski. He's the founder of Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers. Also founded the page a little while ago called New Jersey Pier Fishing. 900 followers and growing. Well, Leon, let's get to the original source, how we met, the Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers Club. Going strong, huh?
Absolutely. I'm thrilled. The club is doing great. In our short history, we've come a really long way. It generates a lot of interest. I constantly get contacted about the club and people that want to come on as members. And quite honestly, I've got a couple of big things cooking. I can't say yet what they are until things are sort of finalized, but in the near future, I should have some pretty big announcements about the club.
Good for you. I know you're putting in a time, other people putting in a time. Now, listen, before the COVID crisis, they used to meet at, what's that, the Vagabond Kitchen and Tap House there on Trenton? Was that Trenton or whoever in Atlantic City?
Correct, yes.
I never attended the meeting, but I go there for the food. Oh, Leon, the food is so good.
Yeah, that's what made the meeting so good.
Well, and before I let you go, man, the club has an ongoing perch tournament. What's the dealio with that? How are the sizes coming in? It's some hot perching out there, Leon.
Yeah. We're getting some weigh-ins, and guys are getting out there when they can, you know, between work and family. And, it's going to run until the end of March. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it all turns out. We've got two separate categories and prizes for both. And so far it's been a lot of fun just keeping track of what people are catching. And it's just been great.
Good for you. Okay, Leon, a website, please, a Facebook page for the saltwater anglers for the New Jersey Pier Fishing. Go.
Our Facebook is just that, Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers. Please check it out. You can check out our website. It's acanglers.com. Our website is often under construction. Go to Facebook, please, anytime. Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers. Reach out if you have any interest. And, our club is for everyone.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what type of fishing you do. Doesn't matter if you're a land-based fisherman or a boat owner. We are open to it all.
And listeners, too, just in case Leon, I know he's jamming, slamming, otherwise cramming. Very, very community, very civil, organized in that, involved. Leon, you've run numerous cleanups. I know you have more scheduled. So you're giving back. You know, people support you, but you're giving back, keeping the places clean and tidy, man.
Absolutely. We're trying. We had a great Christmas, we collected a great deal of toys that we brought over to Atlantic City. We got to give those to the kids.
Great.
And that was great. Yeah.
Super. Okay, Leon, I will see you sometime this spring, little brother. Let's rock, let's roll. Let's try to get some perch fishing in, man.
Absolutely, anytime.
Okay, you take care, brother. Best of Melissa and everybody.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We'll see you.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Harry Hurley for Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling. Make 2021 the year you commit to making sure your home is always comfortable for your family with a little help from my friends at Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling Professionals. Most systems last about 10 to 15 years. There can be a substantial energy savings when you update your older, inefficient system to a newer one, as well as the peace of mind that your system will perform consistently, heat your home evenly, and not leave you literally cold when you least expect it. Ambient Comfort will suggest the best option for your budget, provide safe, efficient, and accurate installation, and they offer a great maintenance plan to ensure continued efficiency. Start the year by improving your home's comfort with Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling Professionals. Call them at 856-213-6586 or visit ambientcomfortnj.com. ambientcomfortnj.com. Tell them Harry Hurley sent you.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy, man. Some freshwater fishing is hot. Crappie bites going crazy. Pickerel, as always. Largemouth, as always. Small as little picky white perch in the tidal creeks, man, and the ICW. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5.